listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Earlier in this service, I just felt and sensed the confirmation for this message that I'm going to share with you in this moment, in these next few moments. Sometimes, you know, you wrestle with what do you share with the people of God? Is it a timely word? Is it a word the Holy Spirit is bubbling up within you for the people that are gathering, whether it's in this sanctuary or whether it's an online situation? I personally want to be timely, spot on for what God is wanting to say to our people. I just want to ramble. Just want to fill up space. That's not my game here. My game is to impart the word of the Lord to you. And I would hope that you would be a recipient in a similar manner, that what is being shared, you would take it to heart. And then, can I say, make application to your life? Because how many know we're on a growing curve here in the things of God? I'm going to try to explain that as well. So I want to talk to you this morning about God's will for you in one word. Yeah, you can reduce it to one word. Because we can overcomplicate this matter of God's will for our life. Quite often, discussions about God's will seem to revolve around the big questions that you face. Questions like, who are you going to marry? Where are you going to go to college? Which job are you supposed to take? How many of those are questions that you wrestle with in your life? Which house to buy? Or what our kids' lives, what would they be like when they grow up? And you start wrestling and struggling and praying for them. And before we know it, we're in a conversation about their college, about who they're going to marry. And the cycle continues. What job will they take? And this whole thing keeps cycling into the future. But I want you to know, believe it or not, God's will doesn't focus on these kinds of things. And I'm going to try to explain that to you this morning, as important as those matters are that we wrestle with in life. God is not holding his breath this morning, hoping that you would go to Bolivia and not to Southern California as a missionary. God's not worried about that right now. His will is not a secret blueprint for making specific or minute decisions in your life. He doesn't have a master plan that he's hiding from you either. And he's not testing you to see if you can figure this all out or not. Because here's the truth. If you do this one thing, which is wrapped up in one word, all these other questions will eventually be answered. And there will always be questions. Yes, you should be seeking God's plan for your life. I'm not trying to dismiss that. However, what I want to get across to you this morning is that which God is after in your life. What is God after in your life? And that part He makes very clear to us in Scripture. So take your Bibles. I want you to see God's will for your life in one word. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 3. How many want to know God's will for your life? Six people. How many want to know God's will for your life? Come on, church. Okay, look at this scripture. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, period. I'm going to try to explain what that means. God's will for you is wrapped up in one big word. And that word is sanctification. Sanctification is one of the key words that we learn from Scripture. It helps us to understand what our salvation means. It covers the space. Hear me real carefully now, because I'm going to use about four big words, and I need you to track with me. The first is sanctification. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. But it covers the space of time between our justification and our glorification. Hope I didn't lose you. I'm going to explain all this. It's not as complicated as you think. These two words, justification and glorification, are the bookends of your spiritual life. Now, I introduced a phrase there that I got to explain, bookends. One half of our modern culture does not know what a bookend is, because we don't read books. We do the internet thing. Bookends. What are bookends? Well, if you had a library, a bookend would be that weighty object that keeps your books upright on one end of the shelf, and on the other end of the shelf, you have another weighty item that keeps your books upright. So you have these two bookends that keep your books in order. Now, I want to say this morning, the bookends of your spiritual life are justification and your glorification. Let me tell you what justification is. That's the first bookend. It's easily remembered in this short phrase, just as if I'd never sinned. That's what justification is to you. It's just as if you'd never sinned. This is what happens to us when we receive Jesus Christ into our life. We come into a pure state. We become a follower of Jesus Christ. However, it is only our starting point in the journey, and it's sometimes referred to as being born again or converted. So it's the starting moment in our journey as believers, the moment of conversion. Here's where God declares, listen carefully, his us righteous before the Father, when we put our faith in Christ. That is, we're trusting in Christ's payment for our sin. That's your first bookend. justification. Let me give you the second bookend, and that's glorification. And what that is all about is the end of it all. You haven't been glorified yet because you're sitting here. But some of our friends and some of our relatives are right now in the presence of Jesus, and they've been glorified. So between the day that you got saved and the day that Jesus takes you home, there's a whole lot of living to go on between those bookends. Are you tracking with me? And that's where sanctification takes place. It's between the bookends of justification and glorification. It's the process of becoming Christ-like. This in-between stage or part of our life is what God's after. As a matter of fact, we read that that's the will of God for our life, is sanctification. For every one of you, I'm here and I can be boldly say, the will of God for you is that you be sanctified. How can I say that? Because the Bible tells us that. The Bible tells you to be sanctified. Now, what is sanctification? You better know what it is, because it's the will of God for your life. It's what God's going to zone in on you 24/7 as long as you've got breath. That's the will of God for your life. And I'm here to say, and I'll repeat it over and over again, that if you get that part right, all those other questions that I addressed earlier on will get answered. But this is the most important part. And once you get this fixed in your life, you're going to see it's going to take the entire scope of confusion out of what you need to be doing with your life as you live between the bookends of justification and glorification. So, let me get to it. Sanctification has two points to it. By the way, I've given you in your program a piece of paper to write on. You should be doing some writing here, because this is good stuff. It's worth the admission that you paid to get into this place. Sanctification covers two points. The first point is imputed righteousness. You got to work with me now. Say the word imputed. Now, I have to clarify that. That's not what happens when you get sick. Okay, I know some of you are thinking that right now, but that's not what it means. Imputed means stamped or branded upon you. So when you got saved, God stamped the righteousness of Jesus on your life. Here's how it works. When the Father looks at all of us, He doesn't see you for who you are. He sees you through His Son, Jesus. And it's Jesus that qualifies you to the Father. It's His righteousness, not your righteousness, that gives you an audience with the Father. So the first part of sanctification is imputed righteousness. The righteousness of Jesus stamped or given to you. That's why the enemy can't take advantage of you. When he starts accusing you, how many know that's what he is? The accuser of the brethren. And he starts bringing up your past. You need to know your Bible, church, because when you know your Bible, you can come at the enemy with the facts of the Bible. And you can call him for who he is, a liar. Because the Bible tells us that Jesus gave us his righteousness. How many know that's why it's so important for us to believe that Jesus lived a sinless life? He was perfect, without blemish, sinless, I might add. And so when he paid the price for our salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, and we believed on him, his righteousness was imputed to us. That's good news, church. Actually, it's his righteousness before the Father that makes us accepted. Okay? You need to know that first out of the gate. Number two, there is such a thing as imparted righteousness. So you've got imputed righteousness and imparted righteousness. To understand imparted righteousness, we don't have to go very far. All we got to do is just get out to the parking lot. And sometimes right in the parking lot is where the flesh starts to manifest itself. And you don't act holy. You don't act righteous. The kids start hollering. Get your coat caught in the door of the car and bad things start happening. How many know what I'm talking about? You get yourself in a knot very quickly. And you lose any righteousness that you thought you did have. Keep in mind, imputed righteousness did not go out the window. But imparted righteousness is the process. Listen carefully. About being changed into the image of Jesus on a regular basis. And I'm here to tell you, the hound dog of heaven, the Holy Spirit's going to be on your case 24/7 until you're exactly like Jesus. In every way. I'm going to go somewhere with this in a little bit, but I want you to know this process is going to continue until your glorification. It started with your justification. It's going to end with your glorification, because when you stand before the throne and you're glorified, how many know? You made the grade. And that's good news. This form of righteousness, imparted righteousness, is an ongoing process. And this process is critically important for us because by nature, we're not completely holy. Now we have a problem. The Bible says for us to be holy as he is holy. How many see your problem? Three people. Whoa. We could be here till tonight. I got the time, church. We're going to get this. We're going to get this before it's over. You see? This process is is an expression of God's love to you. God's going to take you through the school of hard knocks to work out any kinks in your life. And he's going to work those out because he loves you and he cares about you. But it's not only because he cares about you. Here's what I want you to know. He's going to work out these kinks because God has a reputation to preserve. And you and I represent God. We are his representatives on the planet. So, he's at work at preserving his reputation. I worry a little bit about what kind of representation the body of Christ is giving God in this present modern day. And the reason that I worry about that is because part of that is my assignment from God to help the people of God understand that they have the reputation of God to preserve. My jurisdiction is Grays Harbor. So I worry about the body of Christ representing Jesus correctly in this region. It worries me when the body of Christ gets off course, and who knows where they are, doing whatever they want to do, and they forget who called them. Church, this is serious business, because the Bible says that we're to be holy as he is holy. And I might add, more and more holy. So this is what God is doing in us right now. It's called the will of God, wrapped up in one word. Can you help me? It's called sanctification. And this is going to continue in our lives until we die or Jesus comes and returns for his church. That's the will of God for our life. For 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 18 says this: we all, that's us, folks, all of us, that's you individually, that's your family, that's me, that's my family, it's my kids, it's my grandkids, it's our church, it's all of us, we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord. How many enjoyed the presence of God in worship today? Wow. Thank you, worship team. Did an amazing job. We're being transformed, it says right here. Come on, look at it. We're being transformed into the same image. That is the image of Jesus. From one degree of glory to another. And I'm here to say, the Holy Spirit's not going to back off until we're all like Jesus. So don't hold the class back. Did you get that? Don't hold the class back. We're being sanctified. We're being set apart, little by little. And bit by bit, day by day, and one step at a time. This is God's will for you. And why is this so important? Because it goes to the subject of representing God on the planet. Now let me help understand that aspect. How many know that Paul wrote to a number of churches in the New Testament letters? And he was concerned about those churches. He was worried about those churches, just like I worry about the church in Grace Harbor. I worry about Cornerstone Church, where our people are at in their pursuits of God and this whole subject of sanctification, being separated unto God so that we preserve the reputation of God our Father. So Paul's writing to churches he's worried about, he's concerned about. The first one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter number, well, I don't, yeah, chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 3. And when Paul writes to the believers in Thessalonica, much of what he is worried about there with that church is their need for sanctification in their lives because they were involved in sexual practices that were unbecoming of believers. And they needed to understand something about sexual purity. So he writes the church in Thessalonica, and he brings them up to speed on what God's heart is on that subject. And in other cities, in other churches, Paul wrote letters because he was worried about them as well. But they had different situations that they were facing. In other churches, he wrote them, and the pressing matters for those churches were idolatry, immorality. Some churches got overboard on materialism, and they lost sight of the kingdom. And so many others had spiritual deficiencies. If Jesus were to address the church in Grace Harbor, what would he put his finger on? If you were to write a letter to Cornerstone Church, what would he put his finger on? Because the will of God for us, church, is sanctification. There's no getting around it. That's the will of God. The Bible tells us that. Didn't you see that? That's the will of God for our life, is sanctification. To be set apart for God, preserving God's reputation. The overarching sanctifying need was and is to increasingly conform ourselves to the Word of God, and thereby living with a pure conscience, being quick to respond to the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit puts his finger on your life and says, you can't get away with that in the kingdom, what's your response going to be? Who cares? Nobody will see. And you brush it off. And it dummies down the atmosphere of holiness in your life. I'm here to say that God's calling up a pure people. We got a contingency of people here pursuing hard the purposes of God, seeking his presence, seeking Jesus with all of their being. That's a good thing. A transformative lifestyle of becoming like Jesus in every way possible and growing into a holiness that represents Jesus well. It helps us not be foolish, but to understand what the will of God is in our life. And you only need to know two things pertaining to God's will for your life. Of course, the base is your sanctification. Quickly reviewing, that's been imparted to you. But the process, it's been imputed to you, but the process is an impartation every day. How many know that when you make godly choices every day, it's like climbing the ladder? You get closer and closer and closer to your goal. Oh, let me help you. How many need more help? Thank you. Our goal, hey, listen carefully. Our goal is not to get to heaven. Your goal is not to get to heaven. I've played enough sports to know that it takes a lot of work to win a game. You don't get to heaven by your works. You get to heaven based on what Jesus did for you. So your works are off the table. Our goal is not to get to heaven. Jesus already made that possible. Your goal in your life is to be like Jesus. That's your goal. Let's set the record straight, okay? Getting to heaven is a no-brainer for Christians. When you die, there's no other place that you can go to. I would be concerned if you were not a Christian, because the alternative is not too great. But getting to heaven has been taken care of by Jesus. Your goal is to be like Jesus in every way. That's your goal. And that's where you're working. And that's the process that God is taking you through. So you only need to know two things pertaining to God's will for your life. One, God's will, plain and simple, is the Bible applied. It's the Bible applied. Just add applied. Forgot to add that. Okay? Number two, the will of God is the Word of God. I kind of like golf a lot, so I read about it. I like to fish. I like to hunt. So I read about it. I study, pursue that. But over and above all, I'm a believer. And if I want to know anything about a believer's life, I go into the Bible. Now, if I find myself reading golf magazines, fishing magazines, and hunting magazines more than I read the Bible, how many know I've missed the boat? Because the major focus is for my spiritual development and to be Christ-like. Okay? So, the will of God is the Word of God. And this speaks of God's written word and his proceeding word. We read and are familiar with the Bible. That's the written word of God. The proceeding word of God is the word that God gives to you in what you need to do to take your next step. It has to do with prophetic insights, heeding prophetic declarations, and we had one this morning about the peace of God and how to apply that to your life, that's a preceding word for us. And when we walk in that, it brings peace to us. You reject that? My goodness, you can be in all kinds of turmoil if you turn on Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and whatever else you look at. You start scratching your head and you wonder what's happening. You need a preceding word. It is not merely the specific answers to life's various multiple choice questions. Because if you're doing what the Word of God says in terms of your sanctification, you'll be making decisions that will be in keeping with that. But if you're in Never Never Land, it's going to be a tough journey for you. A real tough journey. Because you're going to be bouncing around like a ball on a pinball machine. How many know we complicate this Christian life far more than we need to? I'm going to end up right now. I could keep going. So if you grasp this principle in God's Word today, it's going to be a game changer in how you live your life. Help us, Lord. God's Word and God's will for you, simple and plain, is wrapped up in one word. One word. Sanctification. We're going to worship and sing, but while these guys are assembling, let me help you find sanctification. Sanctification is that segment between the two bookends. So let's review. One bookend is called what? Justification. Got a great gold star there. Okay? That's one bookend. The other bookend is glorification. Man, you guys are good. The in-between part is sanctification. It's been given to us by Jesus when we got saved, and it's an ongoing process. Why is that so important? Because we are representing God with our lives. And we don't want to mess up, because we want his reputation preserved. Amen? Stand to your feet. Let's just glorify him together. These guys are going to lead us in a powerful song. And while they're doing it, it's your altar call to the Holy Spirit to be faithful, to be true, to be committed, to be on point with God in your journey. Okay, musicians, lead us into the presence of Jesus with this powerful song.
His face shine upon you, be great. gracious to you, Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Lord,
getting the picture this morning? Are you getting the picture? This is not about you. You're the handiwork of God. It's not about you. It's about advancing Him, not only for generations to come, but in your family, in Grace Harbor. How many know you're called to carry the presence of God? You're called to carry His heart. You're called to carry His nature, His holiness, His righteousness, His goodness, His kindness for all generations. Some of you are a little concerned this morning. You're looking down the road and you're saying, good grief, be a miracle. This anointing lasts the rest of the morning or night, the day in my life. It can, it will. Some of you are saying, I need prayer. I need extra prayer. And we got the people here to do it. I'm gonna pray for you right now. You want to pray for your kids, your grandkids? You want to pray for, you want prayer for yourself? Maybe the workplace where you gather through the week? It's an unrighteous hellhole. You've been called by God to bring righteousness into that place. Yep, that's the way it works, church. Sorry to break it to you, but you need help this morning. You got to have special prayer in your life. I want you to come. These people are going to pray for you. They're going to anoint you with oil. You're going to go from this place powerful in the might of the Holy Spirit. Because we're here to represent Jesus, the Grace Harbor. Okay? Come on, give them an applaud. God bless you. Move forward. Come on, move forward for prayer. You need to go. God bless you. Have a great week.
You're listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.